Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you for tuning in tonight. And just in case you're just now tuning in case you missed the first hour, we had two great guests. We had Mr. Paul English, who called in, I believe, from Switzerland, and he thoroughly went over the book Hellstorm that we went over last week. We had Gene Andrews come in. He's one of our brothers who rode to Charlottesville and back with back in 2017. We went there. We were at the infamous garage there. We have a brotherhood formed in fire. We have a guest coming on right now tonight, and he knows, as well as the rest of our audience knows, that this is Dresden Month here at Blood River Radio. By the way, you're listening to Blood River Radio, and it is February the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2020. But we're getting ready to bring on a Dr. Ed DeFries, and he is the head honcho at Dixie Heritage. I believe he also has a store, too, down in Florida, Georgia. But he's going to come in, and we're going to talk about things to do. What do you know? We're going to talk about Southern Heritage. You see, he has that website. He's also, I believe, if memory serves, my memory's not that great. Everybody knows I've been through a lot of stuff here lately, health-wise. He's going to also... He also, I think, is a Baptist minister, but we won't hold that against him because I used to be a Baptist myself. I'm a recovering Baptist. We're bringing on Matt the Mo Goodwin tonight. He's going to help us drive this interview. Please pray for Jacob Tyler. He's been sick off and on the last couple of weeks. Pray for Sam. Sam's battling illness worse than mine even, and certainly worse than Jacob's. Anyway, with that introduction right there, how are you doing tonight, Dr. Ed?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you so much. We have, like I mentioned, we have the young Mr. Matthew Goodwin. We have him on. He's going to be helping me drive this interview. I wanted to talk back to you earlier to find out if you had any specific things you wanted to talk about, but if you do, that'd be great. But before we get going, I just want to run a few things about you and Jacob. I was listening to, Matt, I got my coach in here. My other co-host had to leave suddenly. I've been listening to True News. They have a great website. I do have some things I disagree with them on, but they brought up something. I had to listen to it twice today. You know, they point out the fact that we have, and they're religious. They're a religious show. I don't know if you ever watched it or not, but I think Rick Wiles is supposed to be a pastor or some type. But he was pointing out the fact that we have like a virus of biblical proportions. That this a virus is threatening to infect the entire world. I'm not getting too bad out of shape about it. I think they may be overblowing it a little bit. But he's acting like it's going to be almost like the bubonic plague or something. But we have these plagues. For some reason, a lot of them always come out of China. We have these plagues. We have earthquakes everywhere. But what really had an impression on me was he talked about here we have in the United States of America, we have an open sodomite, a flaming homosexual sodomite parading around. And he's not only just parading around, he's the top runner. He's one of the front runners of the Democratic Party in the run for the president of the United States. I mean, I can just imagine a queer flag flying over the United States of a Capitol in Washington, D.C. I can imagine that. He also talked about how, you know, our country is going to hell in a handbasket. We're having open sex in the schools. You can't even mention anything about a homosexual if you're on a job somewhere, especially a government job, about get kicked out. And meanwhile, I'm getting ready to shut up. Meanwhile, these evil, mean Russians, mean, wascally Russians, their Congress over there, they just had made a constitutional amendment to say that marriage is between one man and one woman. That there's only two sexes, there's male and female, that any child that's produced by a union They will call their woman mother. They will call the man father. They will call their mother father. They also, the third thing that's really great, he said, it's in their constitution now, that Almighty God is sovereign over the nation of Russia. Meanwhile, the United States and America, in my opinion, is sliding into Gomorrah. And the reason I left the Southern Baptist Church is because I think they're leading us to hell in a handbasket that they are. And I'm going to shut up. I'm just throwing these. I'm setting the table for you and Jacob. Excuse me, for you and Matt. Meanwhile, the United States of America, who was founded by Christians for Christians, in my opinion, is we're like, you know, we got one foot in Sodom and Gomorrah and the other on a banana peel. Our country is just getting more filthy every day. And we hear this never-ending drumbeat how evil the Russians are. Anyway, so I've set that table for you, for both of you guys, in case y'all have anything else to talk about. I thought we could start off with that. What do you think about that, Dr. Ed?
Well, you know, if you want to start with the coronavirus, you know, the Chinese are quarantining all of their cash right now to keep that virus from spreading. So, again, I don't know if that means the virus really is a big issue or if this is a manufactured crisis. And if it's a manufactured crisis, it's probably more dangerous than if it's a real crisis. As far as the Southern Baptist Convention, I don't know if you saw the article that I had written in the Citizens Informer and on the TBR, the Barnes Review website, and I guess it's going to be in the March issue of the Nationalist Times. But I basically explained that the Southern Baptist Convention, the Baptist Press, they put out an article recently that appeared in all the Southern Baptist State Convention newspapers trying to deny that George Soros is funding the Southern Baptist Convention through its Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. But in their denial, they actually documented the money trail. And, you know, I just had the audacity to point that out, and so I'm kind of persona non grata right now in the Southern Baptist Convention. But, you know, essentially, you know, the globalists, you know, saw fit to infiltrate, you know, all of the other institutions of our nation a long time ago. So why would they have not instituted or infiltrated our religious institutions? And, you know, obviously they've infiltrated the Southern Baptist Convention, and you say, well, what is George Soros, you know, financing there? What he's financing is it's called the Evangelical now I'm having a senior moment. But it's the Evangelical Immigration Table, the EIT. And basically what they're doing is the Southern Baptist Convention, the United Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans. You know, they're all getting together and basically using federal money to bring all of these immigrants and so-called refugees into our country. And so, you know, you say that, you know, you say, well, what's up with a lot of what our government's doing? And, you know, why aren't the preachers of our country crying out against it? Apparently, at least a few of them are getting rich. You know, actually facilitating the problem, you know, so much so that when Texas stopped taking in refugees, the Lutheran denomination cried out against Governor Abbott because they said you're costing us millions of dollars in federal funds.
Dr. Ed, we got the music coming. We'll be right back, man. But Dr. Ed, they probably don't want to give up the Mercedes. That's probably the reason why they're not crying out any louder. People will be right back to the one and only Dr. Ed DeFries, and we'll bring Matt in just a few minutes, too. Hang on to your seats. Be right back.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, we're right back. This is the second segment of the second hour. We've got the Dr. Ed DeFries on. We're going to go to him, right back to him in a few minutes. We're going to bring Matt on. But, you know, Dr. Ed, it's funny. I told my pastor, by the way, I was baptized in a Southern Baptist church 2 months before my 62nd birthday. So, you know, I can speak, and my wife was a cradle Catholic, so we can kind of dog both of them. She said that she didn't leave the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church left her in 1986. We all know what's going on there. But I told my pastor, I love him to death. Matter of fact, I was communicating with him today, and one of my best friends in the world who's still in that church. And I told them both, and they know the way I feel. I told them, you know what? I love our church. I loved it. I loved everybody there. But God never made a dumber critter than a Southern Baptist. You know, they come in, they worship all these Jews. They worship Israel. They think, you know, if they can just worship Israel enough and worship the Jews enough, they're going to go to heaven on the 747. And they're all waiting on the rapture, you know, the 13 Lauderdale rapture bus. And I'd tell them, well, if the rapture's so hot, you know, if it's so wonderful, what happened to all those people that got thrown to the lions in the Colosseum? You know, what's happened to the millions of Christians? There were 60 million of them probably killed in World War II. We all know about the Holodomor in the Ukraine. We all know about Stalin's hell holes, his concentration camps where they just killed Christians by the thousands. But anyway, I'm going to shut the hell up. And go back to you, Dr. Ed, and you go ahead. And I'm sure that Matt will have a few questions for you just a minute. But I hope I didn't interrupt you too much.
Okay. Well, you know, we were talking about how, you know, George Soros through various, organizations is laundering money to, you know, various religious groups, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Roman Catholics, and so forth, so that they're actually being the facilitators for, you know, for this immigration crisis that we have. And, you know, in the case of the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, what they're doing is through the evangelical immigration table is they're, among other things, they're convincing the governors of red states that if they don't support bringing in these refugees, that they will lose the Christian vote. And of course, you know, they defend anything that they do, bringing these refugees in and, you know, setting them loose on our people. You know, they defend that, of course, is Christian compassion. We know better. But, you know, that's their excuse. That's their justification. And it's just absurd. You know, people think that when they give money, you know, say to the Annie Armstrong offering or to the Lottie Moon offering, or even when they put money in the offering plate in their church, even if it's not in a Southern Baptist church, maybe it's in another denomination, you know, they think that that money is going to preach the gospel and that it's going, you know, to do, you know, good works around the world. When in reality, they are, you know, financing a left-wing political agenda that is, you know, the opposite probably of what they believe, because the typical person in the pew in the Southern Baptist Church is conservative. You know, they want to see a border wall. They you know, they're all for, you know, helping refugees, but, you know, they want to send help to them in their own countries. They don't want to bring them all over here. And yet, you know, we're seeing, you know, Marxist globalist, you know, liberals who have just, I guess you could say, overtaken our denominations. I'll give you an example. We talk about draining the swamp. You know, the Southern Baptist Convention, it does not matter which preacher is given the privilege of being the president for the next couple of years. The convention is run by committees, and those committees are effectively the swamp, which is why, you know, it doesn't matter who the president is. You know, the whole agenda just keeps moving forward. You know, in the case of the Southern Baptist Convention, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but they're working very closely. The head of the evangelical immigration table is actually a Muslim. Now, what is a Muslim doing as the head of an evangelical anything? The head of the Lutheran Refugee Service is a Hindu woman. And again, what is a Hindu woman doing as the head of a Lutheran anything? So we have leaders in our denominations who are getting paid big six-figure salaries that are coming out of the offering plates of our churches, and they're not even Christians.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Maybe Matt, he's a little bit more intellectual than I am. Maybe he has some answers to that, Dr. Ed. Dr. Ed, I'd like you to meet my co-host, Matt Goodwin. He's hanging on tonight, and I didn't want to leave him hanging out to dry too much, but he's a lot more knowledgeable in biblical matters than I am, because, matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, he made it almost all the way through, I think, divinity school, preacher school. What is that school you went to, Matt? I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Ed tonight.
Well, thank you. I went to a Bible college, and I did graduate. Let's see. I basically have a good question regarding the topic. Do you think these pastors are getting, let's say, blackmailed or fraud? Let's say frauded, really. Do you think they're, Dr. Ed, do you think these pastors, once they take on a big $500,000, $1 million construction project, that's a small one. A lot of these pastors, they lust for these big buildings and these fancy parking lots. Do you think that they get under the weight of this banking system so heavy that they have to comply to this satanic movement?
No, I don't think that it's that. I think that it's possible that in some cases that they just don't have the courage of their convictions. In other words, they know things are wrong, but they simply choose not to preach about it. Because if they were to preach against some of these things or about some of these things, you know, the size of their attendance, their congregation numbers would probably go down. You know, they would become controversial. And when you're controversial, you tend to lose your big money donors. And even if in your controversy, your attendance picks up, which will sometimes happen, you know, you're not bringing in your big businessmen and your people who will write the big checks. And so even if your attendance is going up, your offerings are going down. And it basically, you know, they have themselves convinced that if they address these issues or preach on these things, that they won't be able to make the mortgage payment anymore. And so that's what I think it is. I don't think that the bankers come to them directly. You know, I think that they just have it in their heads that they have to they have to steer clear of certain things because they don't want to be controversial, because becoming controversial is bad for the empire.
Well, that's true. You know, I think that's part of it. I think some of these pastors get caught up in this situation, though, where they've got, let's say, $5 million outstanding loans through the banks. And, you know, it's kind of like us or a lot of people on the right getting deplatformed. You know, if they don't, or if they try choose to preach the word, then they will, it will result in a church-wide deplatforming, basically. And I think that's some of it. I think that that's, but for the most part, the real notorious ones, the big names especially, are the ones who are in it for the money, in my opinion. You know, y'all were talking about the gay pride flag earlier.
Well, I'll give you an illustration of this. I don't know if you know who Dr. Greg Dixon is. He passed away recently. He was the pastor of the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, and I believe it was 2001 that the federal marshals pulled him out of his pulpit and drug him out of the church on a gurney. Because he was, you know, preaching against and confronting the Internal Revenue Service and some other federal politicians. But many years ago, this is 20 years ago now, I remember sitting at a Denny's with him and the president of the Baptist Bible Fellowship and Dr. Jerry Falwell and a few others. And Jerry Falwell basically said, well, we all know that Greg is right, but if we were to preach these things, we would lose our schools and our colleges and our buildings and... In other words, he knew that the government would be coming after them full force if they were to preach those things. So they just made the conscious decision to steer clear of those things, just to let them go.
Well, people, I hear the music. It looks like we're going to have to go to another break. Got to pay a few bills, but we won't be gone long. This is going to be a short break. So be right back, people.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
New developments involving the coronavirus. First up, we learn a Chinese person in France, the first patient in Europe to die from the disease. Also in the news, the State Department allowing 400 Americans on board that Princess cruise ship docked in Japan to leave. They will be quarantined for another 14 days at a military base in San Antonio, Texas. President Trump talking about the situation at the White House Friday.
I spoke with President Xi of China, and he's working very hard on this. It's a tremendous problem, but they're very capable, and they'll get to it. There's a theory that in April, when it gets warm, historically, that has been able to kill the virus, so we don't know yet.
In other news, change coming to Spirit Airlines, the company moving its operations control center from South Florida to Nashville, Tennessee. The $11 million investment will create 350 new jobs. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll-free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Rootwall.com.
President Trump sending tactical units from Border Patrol to sanctuary cities across the country to help ICE agents deal with criminal illegal aliens. The president speaking at a news conference with Border Patrol agents in Washington, D.C.
The people of ICE are incredible. They've taken out thousands and thousands of MS-13. As long as I'm president of the United States, you will always have a loyal champion in the Oval Office because I am with you like no president has ever been with you.
More now on this story from USA Radio's John Hunt.
The deployment of Customs and Border Patrol agents, some with tactical training, to the interior of the country represents another escalation in the confrontation between the Trump administration and the local jurisdictions that have set up roadblocks to immigration enforcement. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Matthew Albience said additional forces are needed because people without legal authorization to be in the country are being released from local jails into sanctuary cities before his agents can take them into custody.
This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're going right back to Dr. Ed DeFries, and he's going to continue on what he's talking about, and then we'll bring Matt in to so he can add his two cents worth. Go right back to you, Dr. Ed.
Okay. You'll have to remind me exactly where I was at, where I dropped off at.
Well, I think we were talking about Matt. You go ahead, fella.
So, you were talking about the George Soros Foundation, and then we went on to me talking about the pastors might be blackmailed, but you said the banking system wasn't. So we'll continue on from there.
Okay. I think that it's not so much a problem of pastors being blackmailed as it's just they're afraid to speak. And, you know, Peter had made an interesting comment. He said to fear God and honor the king. But yet most preachers and most churches get that backwards. Instead, they fear the king. They honor God. You know, they pay their tithe when it's convenient. They tell other people about Jesus or invite them to church if it's not too embarrassing. You know, they go to church on Sunday if they don't have anything better to do. You know, they read a Sunday school lesson. You know, they honor God, but they fear the king. They fear the government. And so they get it backwards.
You know, you mentioned Jerry Falwell earlier. Let me ask you something. He was probably a notorious Zionist who he had jets paid for and all this kind of stuff. I mean, do people not realize when they see this amount of money surrounding an individual, do they not realize that that money's coming from non-credible sources? It's not coming from his congregation or his school or whatever. It was coming
from...
Well,
in the case of Jerry Falwell, you know, he came from a very wealthy family. And so Falwell was a millionaire basically before he went into the ministry. He came from a very wealthy family. He started the Thomas Road Baptist Church. He started Liberty Baptist Bible College that became Liberty University. And he basically spent his personal fortune, the family fortune, doing it. And then what happened, of course, is when that money was gone, he started borrowing money. And he went deeply in debt, in fact, tens of millions of dollars into debt to keep that empire going. And then when he couldn't borrow money anymore, very generous benefactors magically appeared. And so you're right, the sources of those benefactors and of that money was not from the offering plates in his church and from his congregation. And, some of those people were not Christian, but yet they had an interest in keeping his ministry going, which I also find very interesting. But you talk about, you know, was he blackmailed? No, but was he bribed? Perhaps, because some of those donors, you know, basically they didn't tell him necessarily what to preach. They told him what not to preach, and they did suggest that he promote certain things that he previously hadn't been promoting. So was it blackmail? No. Was it bribery? Yeah, possibly.
I know he wore a bulletproof vest. I want to ask our audience a rhetorical question. What kind of preacher do you know that wears a bulletproof vest?
Well, when I was a boy, I grew up in the Old Testament, Indiana, and we had a bulletproof glass window or shield in the balcony because people had taken shots at Dr. Jack Hiles, who for many years pastored the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana.
So there we go. There are some. So yeah. Eddie, do you have any questions?
Oh, so far you're doing quite well, young man. Continue on.
So you were mentioning about the homosexual scourge on our country earlier, and what I started thinking about was this flag, this rainbow flag, how can it take any territory that it's not being given? You know, you can't imagine, okay, we had a Confederate flag, the regime that waved the Confederate flag, it had a military force behind it. The American regime has a military force behind it. They can take and hold territory. But this homosexual flag, it's not taken anything. It's only taken what has been given by the people. What do you think about that, Ed?
Well, okay. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, I want to say it's in chapter 13, it says that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, which means that they do not belong to Jesus now. They belong to somebody else. And if you remember when Jesus was up on the mountain and the devil was tempting him, And the devil told him, he said, hey, Jesus, just bow down and worship me. He said, all these kingdoms that you can see, he said, they'll all be yours. I'll give them to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. And, of course, Jesus quoted some scripture, and he rebuked him, and he said, you know, that we're not to worship anybody but God himself. But yet, Jesus never questioned the fact that the devil basically claimed to own all the governments of the world. And Jesus never questioned that ownership. He never challenged that statement. So we're just going to have to assume that it's true. And so the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Well, who do they belong to now? They belong to the devil. And that explains why all the leaders of the world go out to California and worship an owl once a year at the Bohemian Grove. And it also explains why sodomy is being promoted by pretty much most all the governments of the world. Is who runs the governments of the world? The devil does. And so you say, well, why are they being given this territory, if you will? Why does the devil do anything? That is the most, how do I say this? What better thing for the most perverse and perverted entity in the universe to do than to scour our planet with the most perverse and perverted, lifestyle or thing that he can, which would be sodomy, probably.
Dr. Ed, I have a question
here, and I want to ask a question. I want to shift gears right here and ask this question. I think it's very important. How can we once again be a conquering people for our cause, the cause of the scriptures, the cause of the Bible, the cause that planted Confederate flags on forts all across the South? How can we once again rekindle that spirit, Doctor?
Well, we just have to have the courage of our convictions. We just have to, what does the Bible say in the book of Ephesians chapter 6? It says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And so that's just what we do. You know, at some point you just have to plant your flag. At some point you just have to take a stand. You have to draw the line in the sand. At some point you just have to open up your mouth and speak. In other words, we need to quit living in fear. And I think that's why people don't speak out. And I think that's why people don't take a stand. We just need to realize that if we're Christians, that the God who created the universe lives within us and that we can do all things through him. And we just need to take our stand and open our mouth.
That's a great comment. Dr. Ed, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that before he died, he came to the United States on a speaking tour. And he said that the greatest tragedy, so to speak, here in the Western world, that jumped at him like a neon light when he came over. He noticed it immediately, that the men of the Western world had totally lost their courage, It follows up pretty much on a statement that Matt just made. In a more practical way, as a Southern Baptist minister, and Matt got to it, what practical, physical things can we do to take back our country, to run these sodomites out of our country, out of our government? What can we do? As a Southern Baptist minister, as a Baptist minister, in a Christian way, what could we do? I guess I'm maybe form like posses to support our sheriff, local sheriff, militia groups to support our sheriff. What, as a Southern Baptist minister, what could you do?
Simply speak the truth. Just expose things. If we know that somebody is a sodomite, just point it out. From time to time, remind our people, be it from the pulpit or in personal conversation, why is that sin? Why does the Bible call it an abomination? Why is it wrong? How is it perverting our culture and our society? And, just be bold in our proclamation of truth. And, holding people, to account, obviously, when we know that they're wicked, and, voting for righteousness and not the lesser of two evils, because the lesser of two evils is still evil.
Amen. Amen. What do you have to say about that, Matt?
I think it's a good point. I think we probably need to be even a little more aggressive than that at this point. We've got to, if you're in a leftist democratic state, I don't even know what you're thinking. You should probably be seriously packing up and moving. A lot more proactive on a personal level, even. And on a corporate level, the things he said is absolutely true.
Well, Matt and Dr. Ed, we hear the music coming. We're going to a break. We'll be right back for our last segment. This hour has really flying by. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. I had something here I wanted to read, but it might be taking up too much time. So with that in mind, Matt, do you have any other questions for Dr. Ed?
Oh, no. I think go on with the reading. I'm interested to hear what you have.
Well, all right. At the risk of making too much irrelevant comments, I'll go ahead and I'll read this right here. Okay. I got this from our friends from the National Alliance. And it says right here, this hits it right on the money. It might take a few minutes to read this, but I'll read this and run it by y'all, so see what y'all would think about. The title of this little paper says, Who Am I? I am the race baiter, the race divider, and the slave trader. I'm censorship. I'm anti-gun. I'm open borders. I'm eminent domain. I'm against English as the official language of government. I am communism. I am radical feminism. I am in one world government. I'm for the group and against the individual. I will defraud your country without conscience or consequence. I am a dual citizen with loyalty not to your nation. I make the simplest notion complicated. I only succeed when you fail. I'm the reason your daughter has low self-esteem and dresses like a whore. I am the Federal Reserve, Wall Street, the IRS, big corporate money. I'm usury, fractional funding, central banking, world currency, and fiat money. It goes on and on, but I'm going to skip down some because it's quite long. I legislate from the bench, not from the Constitution. I'm the mighty industrial complex. I'm World Trade Center 93, Oklahoma City 94, 9/11, the Levant Affair, the attack on the USS Liberty. I have killed more innocents than all others. I am war by deception. That's the motto of the Mossad. I am your nation's high-end drug dealer. I am the real mafia of the world. I have rewritten world history in my favor. I am an international terrorist. I am unregulated nuclear state. And this is the last one. I am your last, your current, and your next war. Now, I'm going to ask you, Matt, who is that? Who are they talking about?
That's probably Satan himself. But if I wanted to put a term on it, I'd say Israel.
I think you're right on the money. And I would think, what do you think about that, Dr. Ed?
You know, I think, I don't know what to think. I think sometimes we get, sometimes I think we give Israel too much credit. Sometimes we try to make them a scapegoat. I think what we're doing is we're trying to put a face on evil. And is there an evil face there? Yes, there is. But, is it the entirety of evil? No, it's just one of evil's many, many faces. You know, the Bible even says that that the devil appears as an angel of light. And so, the devil is capable of putting on, multiple faces. And so at the end of the day, we've seen however many of the devil's faces, probably except for his real one.
That's a good comment. I do think that, since Israel, as a matter of fact, now my comment, I'm gonna go back to Matt. I think it can be proved that we are a Zionist occupied government, Zionist occupied territory. We all know that that Israel is a non-Christian state. They hate Jesus Christ. They will not allow Christians to come over there try to convert people over. They can totally run our United States Congress. Doc, this thing says right here, they run the university, they run the banks, they run everything you can think of. And as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said that they are of their father, the devil, when he's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes. What do you think about that, man? Am I off base?
No, you're not off base at all. We're not putting a face to a name. These people have faces. Our politicians are directly controlled by Israel. I've called them each personally and talked to all their lackeys, all their office staff. And I'm going to tell you, the direct control of Israel is a real thing. These people laughed at me on the phone when I tried to tell them not to vote for the anti-BDS laws. Literally, they'll laugh at their own citizens on the phone. No, these people are directly controlled by Israel. Now, that there are other influences of evil in the world, yes, I'm not going to deny that. But that list you read by the National Alliance, that list is directly a paradigm of what Israel is. It is a direct reflection of what Israel is.
Yeah, I could read another one, too, just for the heck of it. It says, I am AIPAC, I am NAMBLA, I am ACLU, the homosexual mafia, and the ADL. And also, I would say, and this is kind of right here, I am MSN, Hollywood, tabloid journalism, and pornography. I am the biased judicial system that allows the guilty to walk and the force that's innocent to pay. Now, no one can really deny that Hollywood is owned, lock, stock, and barrel by Jews. These Jews have even said that. I mean, anybody can look this up and find it. Not to be argumentative, but I'm going to shut up and go back to Ed, Dr. Ed, let him make his comment. But Dr. Ed, before I forget, would you please give your website? I know you have published, and I'm remiss for not mentioning this when we first came on the air. You have published at least 24 books, and you're giving one away free, if I'm not mistaken. It's like an ebook on the history behind the real history behind the Confederate battle flag. Before I forget, before you go back and answer my last question, would you give the people your website and how they can get buy some of these books and get in touch with you maybe?
Yes, sir. If you'll go to www.dixieheritage.net, www.dixieheritage.net, all you have to do is give me a valid email address, and you'll be signed up for our weekly email newsletter, the Dixie Heritage Letter. No cost, no obligation there. And we'll also send you a free ebook copy of my book, The Truth About the Confederate Battle Flag. And again, there's no cost there, no obligation as well.
That's a great thing you're doing there, Dr. Ed. It certainly is. I really admire you for doing that. And hopefully I can get more time, I can go and go to your website, read some of these books myself. I would like to get that ebook myself. Well, Matt, do you have any further questions for Dr. Ed?
Yeah, I spent some time at a fort where I'm at right now. It was called Fort, Barranco down here in Florida. You ever heard of that fort?
No, sir, I never have.
It was over here in Pensacola area. And anyway, I'm interested in it, and we were talking about the homosexual flag earlier, and the thing that I keep thinking about is, could you imagine the homosexual flag having an army and taking territory like a fort and raising their flag over a fort like Fort Sumter or Fort Barranco? You know, I can't imagine that at all. And our people, the point I'm trying to get across to people is that the moment we rise up, like you said, and be proactive and take back this country, and the moment we put our values back on the line and draw lines for ourselves, we can take back this stuff. These flags, these symbols Satan has, they mean nothing. They own no territory. All they do is just try to browbeat us over the head. What do you think about that, Doctor?
Well, you know, you talk about symbols. The rainbow was a symbol that God gave, and he gave it to Noah when he made a covenant with Noah after he, you know, destroyed the world with the flood. And yet, you know, the devil has somehow or another managed to, you know, to steal that. You know, it's the same thing with just about anything, you know, that you can think of, you know, God gives it for good. And, you know, somehow or another, the devil manages to co-opt it, you know, for evil. Even the Confederate flag is the same thing. You know, our noble Southern ancestors, you know, were fighting for freedom and for the establishment of a Christian republic. And, you know, yet in our day and age, we have seen, you know, wicked people pervert that flag and that symbol. And, you know, that's what the devil does. The devil takes good things and he perverts them. If anything, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, you'll find that the devil, you know, really hasn't changed his strategies very much. And I guess as long as they still work on us, why should he have to?
You know, Dr. Ed, we're about to run out of time. But before we run out of time, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you have a... Are you currently pastoring a church? And if you are, can anyone go? Can they go online to listen to some of your sermons to join in, so to speak?
Yes, sir. If you'll type in to YouTube, Old Time Gospel Half Hour Radio Show, I put my sermons up there every week, and you can hear them there.
Old Time, repeat that if you don't mind.
Old Time Gospel Half Hour Radio Show.
Well, I will certainly be listening. Maybe I can be brought back into the Baptist Church. Who knows? I might even get Sam to come in there and listen. Who knows? Well, I appreciate you telling us that. If you have any, we're about to run out of time. Do you have any an ending comment you might make, Dr. Ed? Well, there it is. Make a quick comment. You have about 20 seconds.
Well, you talked about Putin at the beginning of the broadcast. You know, what is the world coming to when Vladimir Putin is the only one that's making sense and standing Christian like me?
That hit the nail on the head, I'd certainly truly believe. Well, I'll give True News the credit for that. That's where I got that tidbit of information. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ed, for coming on. I hope you'll agree to come back on. I will be getting to talk to you real fast. And thank you so much, Matt. You've made my work easy tonight, both of you gentlemen. Thank you so much, y'all. I love y'all. Love our audience. Tune in the same time, same place next week, and hopefully we'll be here, God willing. Good night, everybody. Good night, Sam. Good night, Richard and Denise.